Over the summer, I sought to grow some beans, and I'm glad to report I had some success. Maybe not 100% success, but we did have some success, and it got me thinking. As you know, whether it's gardening or whether it's a farmer out at the sowing time, planting all sorts of different things, we can do what we can do in sowing the seed, in cultivating the soil, and trying to do everything to encourage things to move in the right direction. But it's only God who can bring the growth. And folks, as we think tonight a little bit about parenting from a Christian perspective, and we'll think about this, God willing, again next Lord's Evening. Isn't it true that in family life, that as parents hopefully seek to create the right conditions for the development of their children, physically and mentally and spiritually, we also, of course, look to the Lord to bring that spiritual growth that only He can bring. Children and young people, like older people, can only be made alive to God as they are regenerated by the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things that we can also say at the start of a little talk like this is that from a Christian perspective, and certainly this is true of our church, we believe that the home is the primary place for the spiritual instruction and guidance to be given to children. In that sense, parents are teachers and guides. Sometimes people shirk that responsibility. They say, well, the church will do that bit, but no, that's a mistake. Or they say, the school will do that. No, that's a mistake. Of course, the school and the church have a tremendous role to play, but not at the expense of the home. So if you're a parent here this evening and you have children, you have a responsibility as a parent to influence your children for the Lord. Don't say, Mr. Johnston will do that. He'll sort that out. No, that's not the role for Mr. Johnston. You're a parent. You have to take on that role. We live in a very difficult age, and I want you to think about this. We live in an age where, certainly in our country and in the West, there seems to be every week more and more people standing up and saying, well, we don't want this Christian business. We want to throw that away. When you think about that, that's a very, very scary thing. That's the kind of world in which your children, my children, your grandchildren are growing up in. And we in the church, whether you're a parent, whether you're a grandparent, we all have a real responsibility to, in a sense, rise to that challenge and not to allow the world to shape our young people, but to stand up and say, well, look, by the grace of God, I'll do what I can to influence young people for Jesus. Tim Sizemore, a couple of quotations here, in a little book called World Proof Your Kids, says this: it's time to rise and defend our churches, and particularly our children. It is paramount for us as believers to return to the offensive in our parenting and nurture of our children. And that's what I want to say a wee bit about this evening. The same person, Tim Sizemore, says this. Let me just read it to you. He says, drawing from the biblical evidence, I venture to propose the following goal for Christian parenting: to raise children through guidance and discipline to faith in Christ, so that they glorify Him in every area of their lives, eventually passing the faith on to their children. The phrase that's coming up here is the nurture of our children. Christian nurture of children is absolutely vital. I'm going to deliberately read something that I read. Remember the morning we had our visitor, the bat? Yeah, well, that bat interrupted what I was saying that morning until Frank kindly came to the rescue. And they are endangered species, by the way, Frank, so hope you bore that in mind. Anyway, we'll move swiftly on. But that particular morning, I read something, and I just want to read it again. It was actually from an article. Those of you who get the Reach Out magazine, the June-July 2015, it was an article written by the principal of the Presbyterian College in Belfast, Dr. Stafford Carson, entitled Unpacking Covenant Theology. And just in a little phrase, a little paragraph about Christian nurture, he says this. Let me read it to you. He says, the term used in earlier generations to describe this discipleship-oriented way of passing on the faith to children was Christian nurture. The question of how children came to faith received a great deal of attention in the Presbyterian Church in the 19th century during times of revival. So much attention was given to dramatic conversion stories that the less enthralling, rather ordinary examples of people coming, growing up in Christian families and receiving the faith passed on to them by their families was sometimes considered invalid. And it meant that the ordinary means, this is really important, the ordinary means such as family prayers, catechizing children, and faithful attendance at church were being set aside to wait for the next season of revival. The result was that many children sadly left the faith of their fathers. Now, Dr. Carson is a great advocate of seeking God's reviving power. But what he's saying there is that we mustn't wait for the special times to come that hopefully our children will be touched. He's saying we need to keep plodding on with the ordinary things of Christian nurture, of praying with our children, being an example to our children, bringing our children along to church, reading the Bible with our children, showing unconditional love to our children, and so on and so forth. So even some of those things that I've mentioned this evening are absolutely vital. Christian parent here tonight, read the Bible with your children. Pray with your children. Come to church with your children. I'm probably preaching to the converted, as it were, tonight. But go out and spread that word. And say to people, not in a hard way or anything like that, but in a spirit of concern. I am obviously concerned, like any minister would be concerned. In this day and age, I think we do live in an age which is becoming more and more careless. And even in families that have, in one sense, no better, there can be a careless and a lax attitude, even when it comes to bringing their children along to Sunday school and church. We live in an age now where they're just sent, not brought. And you can write the script, what's going to happen. What happens when children are brought up in a situation and that parents don't take much interest in church? Well, they're not going to take much interest in church after they grow up a wee bit. If dad's not interested, well, why should I be interested? So these are really, really important things. So go out and try and be a good influence and encourage people to see the importance. Because there's so many influences out there that are going to be an influence not for God or for good upon the children living in mourn. And so we need to be an influence for God and for good and encourage others to do the same. Just this evening, I want to just build a couple of things around this verse here. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, where it says this: "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Just a couple of very simple things. First of all, the context to remember in Christian parenting. What is the context of this verse in Ephesians chapter 6? Well, the context is all that has come before it and what's around it. Ephesians chapter 5 is a chapter that has a whole lot of stuff in it. But how does it begin? It begins with these words: "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love." And it goes on in that chapter to say to husbands that they are to love their wives. It's a chapter that speaks a lot about love. Love for the Lord, love for one another. And then, interestingly, it goes on to speak about bringing the children up in the right way. What is the context of good Christian parenting? It is love. It is living a life of love. Remember that person I mentioned a moment ago, Tim Sizemore? He said this. He said, "With the exception of the Bible, our lives are the most important book on biblical character our children will ever read." Bill Hybels, in a little book called Making Life Work, says, "A solid marriage is where we begin as parents." Let me say this to you this evening, and I realize that as I speak, people are in different circumstances, different situations, and I'm very conscious of that. But take what's appropriate here and apply it into your own situation. For the spiritual good of your children and your family, work at your marriage. For the spiritual good of your children and your family, love the Lord. For the spiritual good of your children and your family, love and respect your neighbor. For the spiritual good of your children and your family, love your church family. For the spiritual good of your children and your family, practice what you preach. Now, why am I saying that? Why am I emphasizing that? It's because of the simple reason that the context of all good Christian parenting is the context of love and a life of love that actually is what it claims to be. I read recently a very interesting little article. It was a sort of an intriguing title. Three Things a Boy Needs to Hear. Three Things a Little Boy Needs to Hear. I'm sure it could equally be a little girl. And those three things, written by a Christian, they weren't earth-shattering or rocket science, but those three things were: one, coming from the parent, "I love you. I love you." Parent, we're not too sloppy or sentimental to be able to do that, sure we're not. To be able to say to our children, "You know what? I love you." Second thing was, "I'm proud of you." Maybe they've done something and they need a wee bit of encouragement. "I'm proud of you." And the third thing was, "You know what? You're a good little child." Now, I know what you're thinking. If you saw them the other day, you wouldn't say they were very good. But the point, I take the point, but generally the point here that this Christian writer is saying, there are times that children, not least young children and those growing up, they need to hear that. The context to remember in Christian parenting. Let me move quickly on here to say something about the pitfalls. You may bring it on there, Bill. The pitfalls to avoid in Christian parenting. This text says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." It begs the question, doesn't it? How do you exasperate a child? How do you exasperate a young person? Well, there are a number of ways, I'm sure, in which you could exasperate a child or a young person. I'm going to mention a number. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I'm going to mention a number here this evening. And the first one that I'm going to bring up is that one there. Exasperate your children by being a hypocrite. You know, children may be children, and young people may be young people, but they are not stupid. And I say that respectfully. They see what's going on. And this is particularly true as children get older. If children, be it in Mourne or in Northern Ireland or wherever we live, if they are seeing parents say one thing and do another thing, that's going to create a problem. If they see parents very nicely dressed up and all the rest of it, butter wouldn't melt in their mouth on a Sunday morning for an hour at church, and then they go home and it's a different story, that's going to create a problem down the line. You will exasperate your children. A couple of other ways in which you can exasperate your children: by being harsh and unkind. By being harsh and unkind to a child. You know, I hope you realize this. I'm sure you do. You can crush a child's heart, and you can create within them a resentment that will create a harvest down the line. So be careful. Let's not be overly harsh and unkind with our children. Let's be careful not to be unreasonable with our young people. And especially as they get a little bit older, because they are thinking about things. Don't be unreasonable. You don't always have to say to a child, there are times that you do have to say to a child, well, look, you do this because I said you'll do it. But especially as they get a little bit older, take time to sit down and to explain what you're doing and why you've taken the decision, etc., etc. Another way you can exasperate children is by, on the one hand, being excessively strict, very, very strict, and then you can go to the other extreme of being very, very lax, or a combination of the two, and blowing between one and the other. And that leads to another problem, that of being inconsistent. And that can really frustrate children. Probably can frustrate you if you've ever met somebody that one day they're commending you for something and saying, oh, that's great, and the next day they're a bit different and you're slightly confused. Think about how a young person would feel about that. If one day they're being congratulated and commended for something and then they do it a little while later and you're down on them like a ton of bricks, it exasperates a child. Another way to exasperate is just to be overly negative and discouraging with our children. And by the way, I'm sure none of this applies to any of us. I'm sure none of us would ever do any of these things. But these are things that can happen, aren't they? There's others that come to mind, but we don't have time to talk about them tonight. Just one other one that I would mention. It's not on the screen, being what I would describe as being legalistic. Really getting hot under the collar about things that are secondary at best. Let me tell you just a very brief little story which makes this point. Actually comes from an interesting book called by Rob Parsons. Interesting title, Getting Your Kids Through Church Without Them Ending Up Hating God. That's a very thought-provoking title, isn't it? And he tells the story a true story of a young person. Actually, this person was not a child, but a young person who came into into church one day. This is in a chapter that is entitled, Don't Sweat About the Small Stuff. In other words, don't get hot under the collar about something that, at the end of the day, isn't really the most important issue. He tells a story about a young lad. I don't know what age he was, but I get the impression he was maybe well into his teens anyway. And this happened in a church in America, I believe. And the young fella came into the church, and he was a bit disheveled looking, holes in his jeans and all the rest of it. But the problem was, the real problem was, he had no shoes on nor socks. He was on his bare feet. And believe it or not, one of the leaders of the church who was at the door said, "I'm sorry, you can't come to church like that." And the young lad said, "Okay, if that's the way you want." He was just about to walk straight out of the church, probably never to return again. There was another man happened to be standing in the porch, and he said to him, "It's okay, come with me, you can sit with me." And he took the young lad into the seat, and before the service started, he said, "Look, you're very, very welcome." And he knelt down, and he took off his shoes and his socks, and he sat with the young lad. And that young fella was really touched by that. Now, what point am I making? I'm making the point that sometimes, as parents, as leaders, we can sweat about the small stuff. We worry about something that's not exactly the most important issue. We win a little battle about some issue, and we lose the war. So folks, remember your children, your grandchildren, they might do many of the thing, and they might appear to you one someday, and you might be thinking, "Oh goodness, help, what has happened?" But don't sweat about that stuff. Keep praying for them. Keep bringing them to the Lord. Don't worry overly about some of that stuff. Once they're right with God, that stuff will be sorted out. Time is almost gone, but let me say the last thing. And it's this, the guidance to provide in Christian parenting. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says this, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." That's the NIV translation, the authorized version, the famous phrase, "Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." If you're reading an ESV, it says, "Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." You see that little phrase, "bring them up"? It's really important. Because remember, children and young people are not going to get there on their own. They need you to help them and to bring them up. And that's always the tragedy. As I was mentioning earlier, whenever people, for whatever reason, say, "Well, I'm not really going to..." Sometimes, you ever hear the people saying, "I'll just leave my children, they can find their own way. They don't need me to tell them what to believe or what not to believe." That's a disaster. That's an awful shirking of responsibility. Bring them up. Bring them up. If you remember nothing else, bring them up. Go and influence others and say, "Folks, you need to bring them up in the right way. Train a child up in the way that it should go." Let's not forget that. We neglect those things at our peril. And just before I finish, there's a couple of things here I just want to draw to your attention. It specifically says training and instruction. Nurture, admonition, if you're reading the AV. Training. What does that actually mean? It's a very broad term. Some of you are interested in the rugby at the moment. So let me use a sporting analogy. it's the picture of a coach in the sporting area encouraging, getting alongside and saying, look, you've done that really well, keep doing that. Or, no, that's not right, that's not helpful. No, don't do that. That's not going to be the way that you're going to improve. That's a picture of a parent training. It's all of those things, encouraging the children, getting alongside the children. If I could summarize it this way, bringing the best out of our children and young people and discouraging the worst in them in a Christ-centered way. That's what it means to train them. What about that phrase, instruction? It has a primary sense of instructing people in their minds, but it is much broader than that. It's not just about knowledge. It's not just about getting knowledge, even Bible knowledge, into their heads. It's more than that. There's also a warning and an admonishing aspect to it. Don't have time to deal with this tonight, but again, I'm going to just mention a little book. You have it on the screen, and there it appears in front of you. The local faith mission have copies of these. Now, I'm not promoting this as because I think it's the greatest book that was ever written on parenting, but it's a very, very good book on parenting. It's very good. And it's very, very practical. And I said to the folks in the Faith Mission, there might be a few folks from Colquhoun Presbyterian calling in to get one of these because I've been promoting it. So hopefully somebody calls in to get it. But it is a very helpful little book. But let me finish with this. Training and instruction. Ultimately, we're aiming at the child's heart, the young person's heart. I don't have this quotation on the screen, but John MacArthur is a name that some of you may know. And in a book called Successful Christian Parenting, he says this. Now, listen carefully to this. It's quite thought-provoking. He says, as parents, we must target the children's hearts. We cannot merely target behavior, or our parenting will be shallow and superficial. And we will raise our children to be spiritually super shallow. The goal of parenting is not behavior control. It is not merely to produce well-mannered children. It is not even to make them polite and respectful. It is not even to make them primarily obedient. The ultimate goal and proper focus of biblical parenting is always redemptive. And what he means by that is you're always pointing your children to Jesus. Young person, believe in Jesus. Your little 4-year-old, your 8-year-old, your 11-year-old, you're saying to them, as we've often repeated recently, you're saying to them as you read the Bible with them, as you pray with them, look, give everything that you know about yourself to everything that you know of Jesus. Look to Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Live for Jesus. So all this Christian parenting business, it's more than just you sit there and do what you're told or you'll get whatever. It's more than all of that. It's a redemptive thing. It's a Christ-centered thing. That's what Christian nurture of our children is all about. We'll pick up on this theme again, God willing, next week. But I hope that you can be encouraged and challenged a little bit tonight as we've thought about this phrase from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.